KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump making swift headway in naming members of his incoming administration, already naming the major cabinet appointments. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Karl on another pick. Russ Vogt to lead the Office of Management and Budget.
An incredibly important job that is inside the White House complex and really goes forward and deals with all of the cabinet agencies. So if confirmed, and he held this job, by the way, at the very end of Trump's first administration, Russ Vogt will be a very key player, and he is an architect of Project 2025.
Three people arrested for the murder of a rabbi in the United Arab Emirates. The Israeli government says Abad Rabbi Zvi Kogan, who lived in Dubai, was murdered by, quote, anti-Semitic terrorists. And it's that time of the year again. AAA projecting nearly 80 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles this Thanksgiving holiday, the week expected to be the busiest ever. This is ABC News. An Israeli rabbi appears to have been targeted and killed in the United Arab Emirates.
A 28-year-old Israeli rabbi who went missing Thursday in the United Arab Emirates has been found dead, according to local security officials. The Israeli government says Chabad Rabbi Zvi Kogan, who lived in Dubai, was murdered by, quote, anti-Semitic terrorists. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing to bring the perpetrators to justice. He blamed the murder on the, quote, axis of evil. That's a phrase Netanyahu uses to describe Iran and its terror proxies.
Hamas.
Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Hamas releasing a statement saying a female Israeli hostage who was being held in northern Gaza was killed in recent weeks in an area under heavy Israeli bombardment. The militant group adding that a second female hostage was also injured. Her life, they say, is, quote, still in danger, Hamas not revealing their identities. The IDF saying they're examining the claims. Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. An update on a controversial project in northern Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources has given energy company Enbridge permit approvals to reroute its controversial Line 5 pipeline. It goes through tribal lands. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The DNR's approval allows Enbridge Energy to begin preparations for the rerouting project. Attorney Stephanie Sosi with Earth Justice represents the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribe, whose lands have been directly affected by Line 5 for years.
So this is not a foregone conclusion that Enbridge is going to have this pipeline operating. There's a lot of processes, there's a lot of approvals, and this is just one of them. And we're ready to stand with the band and figure out ways to make sure that whatever approvals there are, that they comply with the law.
She explains the current line is illegally trespassing on tribal lands, and Enbridge's solution is to add 41 miles to reroute it, which would still have dire consequences in the event of an oil spill. A pending lawsuit by the tribe to have the line completely removed from its lands awaits a federal court decision that could halt the project entirely. But attorney Evan Feinauer with Clean Wisconsin says that debate misses the bigger picture by ignoring the current climate threats and their generational consequences.
I just hope that people can hold that long-term view in their heads. And
he says Clean Wisconsin will take legal action to challenge the DNR issued permits for Line 5 and ask that construction be paused until it's resolved. Enbridge says the rerouting project would create more than 700 jobs, many for tribal members, and provide millions in tax revenue to the state. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds, a few sprinkles around this afternoon with highs climbing to the middle 40s, light east to southeast winds. Tonight, any showers come to an end, clouds in lower 40s. Our temperatures hold steady on Monday. A few showers will continue to be around.
It's 42 at our studios.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Brittany Merlot is back from vacation. We'll find out what she did for fun during her time off. And Mary Rohde from On Broadway will join us to talk about all the holiday events going on in the Broadway district. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. So this is that radio show that talks about what's going on locally. We kind of lean into the issues that are happening, the developments that are happening. But what makes all that stuff happen are the people. And we have a new leader in the community, he's with us today, Jamie Wall. Senator, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's that sound?
I hear I'm going to be fitted for a toga soon, but you know, until that happens, it won't be real.
That's a cool title, Senator.
I guess. It goes way back.
Well, it does, but it's also, you know, representative it's good. They're all good, you know, but I think senators.
Well, I take the 4-year term over the 2-year. That seems like a lot of work running
over
2 years.
How about that?
Yes.
Like, maybe it would. Congress never interested me for that purpose alone.
Right.
2 years. You win, and they're like, they announce they're running against
you. Sure, you have time to clear your throat, and then you're right back at it, I guess.
So yeah, you're in for 4 years,
uh-huh.
Which is great, and we're happy about that. Tell me, we're going to talk about what you've been on the show before, but very briefly. I want to get to know you a little bit better today. But the Senate district there's 33 senators in the state of Wisconsin. You're one of them. What's the district? Where you...
The district is the core of the Green Bay metro area of, you know, urban Brown County. So it's almost all of the city of Green Bay. We're just missing a scrap in the far northwest corner of the city up by the botanical gardens. And then there's this weird little island in the town of Scott that's part of the city. But maybe you had something to do with that back in the day. I'm not sure. But
we're here to talk about you.
Exactly. All right. So almost all of the city of Green Bay, then plus Ashwaubenon, Alloway, Bellevue, De Pere, and then another island of the town of Ledgeview to the southeast of Pier, and then about the western third of the town of Rockland. So that's as far south as the district gets.
Pretty much greater Green Bay then.
Yes. I mean, we're missing, you know, sort of Hobart and Howard
to
the west.
But
Ledgeview is not in the district, but sure.
All right. So before you were elected senator, and Bill, you had some tough competition, would you?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean... Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's people run and it's like, oh, thank God I got a dream candidate, you know, opposition. But, you know, I think you were one of those people. And I think there were a number of races where, look, city couldn't lose. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like,
I think
they were both, good people, quality, and you were one of them. And again, congrats. What do you think got you over the top?
I'd say a couple things. One is, you know, there's things you control and things you don't control in politics and in life, and I think there's some of each in this case. One was the district, and this is something I didn't control, but had a little bit of lean in my direction, so that helps. People don't split their ballots like they used to, so it's harder and harder to run further away from the top of the ticket. I actually did run ahead of the top of the ticket, but the second thing is the things we control, and, you know, I worked hard. My team worked hard. Yeah. We raised a bunch of money. I knocked on almost 19,000 doors over the course of the campaign. So if you're listening and you're in the district, there's a pretty decent chance I at least walked down your block at some point. Right. Walked just over 500 miles between Election Day and Labor Day and Election Day, my Fitbit tells me. So I had my annual physical last week, and my blood pressure was reassuringly low after all that all that exercise. So I guess there's, something good came out of it, if nothing else.
I'm not a doctor, but I would say the exercise and the fact that the race is over.
I think you're right about that one. I didn't think about that, but you're right.
I've had high blood pressure.
Yes, I fell on the floor after the election for a few days. Yeah, but yes. So,
that's awesome.
Right.
All right, so you were like, do you think – You worked hard, right? 19,000 doors, sure. 500 miles. That's just a lot of campaigning. Plus, raising money and running ads and mailings or whatever all came into that. But do you think issues got you over? I want to tell you, should I say that? I will. So I've interviewed you and your opponent. You guys weren't hugely different when it came to spending. It's like you were like, this guy spends too much. And usually the Republicans say the Democrats spend too much.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I saw that and I thought, that's interesting. Which to me, I'm a nonpartisan guy. I'm like, okay, we can't get this done, But do you think you had some issues, Senator, that kind of connected a little bit better? I didn't really talk to people after the election. Yeah.
Well, I think that some of the things I talked about were, and this I absolutely heard from people at the doors who were feeling a little bit pinched economically. Cost of living's gone up over the past few years. Not a lot the state can do about your grocery bill or your gas bill, but housing I heard about all the time. Wow. People trying to afford that first mortgage, or renters who were telling me that they were paying $1,700 for their half of the duplex. And I've been lucky enough to be out of the rental market. I've owned my own house for, not quite 20 years now. And I was a little shocked when I found out what people were paying for rent. So I tried to talk
Were you even more shocked when you found out what you could get for your house?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should look into renting it out for the draft weekend, coming up next spring and see. I could probably fund a really nice vacation or something with that. But I tried to talk about, meet the voters where they were. Said that there's some things the state can do. I mean, we're not magical, but there's things that we can do to lower housing costs, and we can talk a little bit about that if you want. There's, child care matters a lot to some people, and health care is a big issue for almost everybody. Beyond that, the state's sitting on record surpluses. And
want to talk about.
Okay.
I do want to talk about that. And if you want to talk about housing, why do you think housing is crazy? And these duplexes that we used to rent for $600 a half.
Right.
And now it's $1,700.
Sure.
And maybe $600, I'm aging myself a little bit, but it wasn't $1,700.
Fair.
Not even 5 years ago. What are some of the things that when they said to you, I got to tell you, Jamie, this housing is crazy. My kid's paying $1,200 for rent and is making, whatever, $20 an hour.
Sure.
That's the math doesn't really work out. And the problem with rental, and, God bless the rentals, but you're not building equity.
Right.
And we need to build equity. That's like
it's the biggest and best investment most people are going to make in their is their house. And
so I want to talk about your response to those questions.
Right. I just look, we're better off here than a lot of other parts of the country or even in the state. I mean, the housing market in Madison is pretty darn hot, much less let's not talk about what's going on the coast, but I mean, my view is just we haven't really kept up in terms of building the housing that we need since about the Great Recession. And that's 10, 12 years ago at this point. So, some of that is interest rates we don't control, but some of it is zoning decisions. I'm working on pulling together a budget request now in a few days to go to the governor. And part of that, you'll be delighted to know, is to support, finally, what we call moving the coal piles of, relocating the Royce Coal Company from, the sort of southern west side of Green Bay up to the mouth of the river. And that's going to free up, I don't know how many acres, for redevelopment, a lot of that residential. So that's the kind of thing the state can do to, in that case, we're working with local leaders to make that happen. And also, I think there's some money from the feds even involved there. But
land to build.
Right. And that's probably the biggest chunk of, sort of semi-accessible land in the city. And it's right on the river, which is a nice thing now. So trying to create new opportunities for developers. You know, I'm a capitalist just like you, and you know, people should be able to make money and with the money they invest in housing. I had a good conversation with the Brown County home developers back a few months ago over the course of the campaign, and I'm looking to see more about what we can do to encourage people to build more housing, and, you know, single family condos, apartments, whatever. I mean, we need it. Yeah.
I want to get back to that 22 acres on the coal piles.
Right.
Okay. I hope, and look, I'm not in politics anymore, and I don't like money with strings attached. However, I think you should attach strings to that's got to be developed into a tax base. Because we need the money.
And the city needs the money.
And you don't want to turn it into a park or into a school or into a church or, you know, God bless all of it. But, man, we need tax base. So I hope that...
And the community needs housing.
And we need housing. So housing that pays taxes would be perfect.
I think we're on the same page there, Jim.
Like it. Yeah. All right, cool. What about... Have you talked or looked at... And again, you're not even sworn in yet... And I'm sure everybody tells you, when do you get sworn in?
January 6th. It's always, I guess, the first Monday in the new year.
Okay.
Happens to be then this year.
Everybody tells you, you know, sworn in today, sworn at tomorrow.
Right.
But I know. I've heard that for 20 years. What about the workforce, though, to assist with housing? You know, I teach at NWTC, and I teach more business classes. But, you know, my assistant here, Kyle, his dad's in home building or in construction. Is the workforce there to, you know, let's say you give them a bunch of land and you give them, they relax the zoning laws a little bit, which you know, I think that would be okay too. Expedite the permitting. Well,
yep.
If you don't, you gotta have labor.
You need labor and materials. And I know I have a friend who runs a small construction company in town, and they're kind of trying to get ahead of what might be some tariffs coming down from the national level and kind of to stockpile some building materials. But, you know, workforce, I mean, that starts with the people who are here in the in the educational opportunities available for them. And you know as well as I do that people in the building trades make good money. They mostly sleep in their own beds and their jobs can't be sent overseas. So that's a good combination for an awful lot of people. And, you know, our tech colleges are just as important as our you know, ZW system in my mind, because they're the road to a different kind of good future for people who choose that path.
Right. Cool. And when it comes to that, technical schools may need. So you fund the technical schools, right? The state?
Yes, but there's some involvement in the local property tax base as well. There's a, you know, if there's always
very
a line
small
in
part,
your,
though.
It is.
That's
it
a
is.
Small
it's not
part.
A huge chunk of funding.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I would like to think we would have the construction workers, the electricians, and the plumbers if we're going to have a, you know, like we did after World War II, right? This huge burst of home development. So
a lot of the trade unions are running apprenticeship programs for all sorts of people, and they're always looking for folks who are interested in that, you know, men and women.
All right. I got to get, when we come back, I want to do this get to know you. I want to talk about your favorite restaurant, favorite meal.
Sure.
What do you do when you're not working? What's the best book you've read lately? Or what are you reading right now? You know, that kind of stuff, right?
You fair enough.
Tell people about the Tesla you're driving. I'm just kidding. I know. No, what kind of, we'll talk about whatever you want, but I think people, you're representing, what, 90? How many people?
About 180.
Well,
180,000, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Green Bay is about half of the district.
All right.
Population.
So people are going to, we're going to tell people about you when we get back. All right. We're here with Jamie Walz, Senator-elect for the state of Wisconsin. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and yes, pick that music. Change it up a little bit, Senator. The Who.
It's like the NFL game. Sometimes they have some fun in the music when they're rolling out to commercials.
And when you go to the Badger games, you know, they put those checkers up there to who are you to pick that. So we are learning a little bit more about you because this is your first time into elected office, right?
Right.
And you're the new senator, represent 180,000 people. And believe it or not, some people might say, who's Jamie Wall?
I'm not shocked at that. I mean, I think unless your name is Trump or Biden, most people don't know who the heck you are or maybe even care all that much, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to creep on you or anything, but, you know, just tell me about you, not your political issues. I'm going to end with stuff on, I really want to talk about reproductive rights. I do want to talk about marijuana. I want to talk about some issues. But this next segment, I'd like to, if you're okay with it, talk about you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
sure.
Born, raised, school.
All right. Well, start at the beginning. I was I live in the 1200 block of Law Street, which is about 2.5 blocks from St. Vincent Hospital, where I was born. So I didn't make it all that far in life. But I was actually raised down in the southern part of Brown County. My dad and his brother ran the family farm, and they both worked off the farm as well. My dad came back from the Korean War and drove gravel truck for 6 months, and then signed up with the prison in Alloway with the Green Bay Correctional Institution, the reformatory there. He was a guard, and later on in his career, he ran an auto body vocational training program for the inmates so they'd have some sort of marketable skill, you know, if and when they got released. So, and, you know, those guys, my dad and my uncle, they worked hard. They got up at 5:30 in the morning and milked the cows. And my dad's case, you know, drove 17 minutes to Alloway and put his 8 hours in there and drove home and milked the cows again. And, in the summer, they'd be out in the fields, you know, until late. So,
I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to tell you. So, we were talking a little bit of break. A company, right? A decent company. And, you don't want to stereotype. You don't want to generalize. But I will tell you, when we would hire farmers, it was a sure bet. You know, we need dependable people, hardworking people that could pack stuff, load trucks. And I'm telling you, that was... The first hire was this lady, this girl. She was a farmer.
Sure.
Big, you know, I asked him in the interview, you know, what's your goal? She wanted to buy a truck. I'm like, man, we can make that happen.
Sure.
I mean, you got to work hard. But she got a really nice pickup truck, too. And she worked with, she was great, but she was a farmer.
Right. Well, most things I've seen in life since then didn't strike me as all that much work by comparison. You know, the beauty of dairy farming is that you get paid every 2 weeks instead of... you know, once a year if you're crop farming, but the horror of it is the cows don't know it's Christmas, you know, and, you know, they need to be milked, you know, two times a day back in the day. Now it's three, you know, whether it's Christmas, New Year's or the 4th of July. Yeah,
that's why you guys with weddings, you guys kind of gotta go to the mass and then you got to go home. And,
right.
Wow.
But
that's work. Hey, all right. So did you watch it or did you participate?
Oh, no, I participated in it. I mean, we were actually relatively fortunate. I mean, we had two families there, so we had more labor around the place than a lot of people did, but which made it easier. But, you know, still it was we did work, you know. Spent a couple summers wearing my jeans thin in the front from, you know, baling hay. But
is work. All right, so you did that.
Sure.
In the southern part of Brown County. In your high school.
Skeeton was the little Irish American crossroads I grew up in. Yeah.
I kind of want to track you a little bit. So you were living in the county, working on your dad's farm.
Right. As a kid, you know, but going to school in Wrightstown.
Okay.
So, you know, public schools there, K through 12. Big 4-H'er, actually, but that goes with the farm stuff. Right. I was at a meeting of the town board in Rockland, which is the southern part of my district, a couple nights ago, and one of the ladies there recognized me from my time as a 4-H kid a long time ago now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any blue ribbons you want to share with us?
Oh, I did win the grand championship sheep one year at the fair. Yeah, so that was a high point. But
All right, so I would have that on my literature. I didn't read that on your literature. Right. All right, grand prize. Yeah. But then what? Do you go slaughter them then, or what do you do with them? Sell them? Or?
Yeah. Well, we you know, you always shear them for the wool.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all right. So that I can handle.
Yeah. And they were kind of, you know, I mean, the cows is where we made our money, but my cousin actually got into this at first, and he got a few, you know, we only had like half a dozen of them. It's not like we had thousands of sheep, you know, we took care of and brought them to the fair.
That grand prize. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's very cool. All right. So then what happened? So you were in high school, you went to Wrightstown.
Yeah.
You 4-H, Grand Marshal of the Year, whatever you call it.
Grand Champion.
Grand Champion. Okay. I didn't write that. Right, I wrote it down. All right. Okay, I won't forget that. Okay.
And, you know, sometime maybe my junior year of high school, you know, my dad sat me down and said, you know, look, son, do you want to take over the farm? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, my cousin's kind of more into it than I am, and I kind of want to go to college. So we started it out that way as a family. You know, dad over time sold his half of the farm to, you know, some of his brother's business partners, you know, his son. And my cousin Mark still runs the place up to now. So that makes me feel good. You know, there's a family heritage in that. But yeah, I was the first in my family to go to college. So went down to the UW-Madison and spent 4 years there. You know, I'm going to date myself because tuition was $800 a semester the first year I was there. And it's a little bit higher, I understand, today.
Still the best deal in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Probably 50 best universities in the world, and it's at our doorstep.
People who complain, it's like what you're getting for, I don't know, 27 grand. Is it more? Maybe it's more. Anyway, that's a hell of a deal.
Sure. But it was an even cheaper deal for me at that point.
So, all right, so what did you study?
History and political science. I've got about half of a physics degree, but, you know, changed course a little bit in the middle there. So,
The old political science and physics can't go wrong there.
Exactly, right. Very, very applied combination there. But
Then what? You got out, you graduated?
Yeah. And I should take half a step back since we're talking about why I was just elected to the Senate. I'm gonna blame the American Legion partially for that. Cool. Because they ran their Badger Boys and Badger Girls States programs, and they made an impression. I went to the Badger Boys program, obviously, but that made an impression on me.
All right, that's cool. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't say that. Everyone I know who's been to Badger Boys has been quite successful.
Oh, all right. I enjoyed it. I came back for a couple of years as a counselor after I went through as a student, as a participant. And so that was all good. And after college, this is one of these things that just sort of happened. But some of my professors encouraged me to apply for a Rhodes Scholarship, which funds your studies at Oxford in England for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I did that and became...
No way. Yeah, are you a Rhodes Scholar?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. So we talked about that. I have another radio show. They just announced it this week.
Oh, okay.
The Rhodes Scholars. And there's only...
32 Americans.
Right. Out of 3,000 or 6,000 that initially applied, then it whittles down to 285. And those 285 are all crossing their fingers. And... man, that must have been cool when you got that letter.
I mean,
or email, it, whatever they did.
Changed my life in some ways, but not in others. I mean, I did have a chance to go and, you know, get a free education, which
was
pretty
two,
nice.
Was it 2, 3, 4 years? How long did you go?
Two years, excuse me, then with an option for a third year if you wanted it. But I just took the two. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That is very cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to be honest with you, Jamie. I did not know that. Had I been a Rhodes Scholar, a lot of people would have known that. I think that's very cool. I do. I think that's awesome. Hey, we're gonna be back. I want a couple more things about where you like to eat, favorite food, all kind of stuff, and then we're gonna get into some bigger issues.
Sure,
but
sure,
all right, so
enough.
You're listening to Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, special in-house guest, Senator-elect Jamie Wall.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump making swift headway in naming members of his incoming administration, already naming the major cabinet appointments. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl on another pick. Russ Vogt to lead the Office of Management and Budget.
An incredibly important job that is inside the White House complex and really goes forward and deals with all of the cabinet agencies. So if confirmed, and he held this job, by the way, at the very end of Trump's first administration, Russ Vogt will be a very key player, and he is an architect of Project 2025.
Three people arrested for the murder of a rabbi in the United Arab Emirates. The Israeli government says Abad Rabbi Zvi Kogan, who lived in Dubai, was murdered by, quote, anti-Semitic terrorists. And it's that time of the year again, AAA projecting nearly 80 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles this Thanksgiving holiday, the week expected to be the busiest ever. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks make it three in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 125-119 win over the Hornets. Milwaukee's now won three in a row, five of their last six, despite the Hornets, LaMelo Ball scoring 50 points. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, this was going to be a hard game. You know, the way I looked at it, through the schedule, your last game at home, playing a back-to-back at home, I did not want to put Giannis back in the game, but we had to, with five or whatever left. But I'm just happy we won the game, and we'll fix the other stuff.
College hoops, the Badgers men's team facing Pittsburgh today in their tournament in Orlando. Marquette remains undefeated after beating the Georgia Bulldogs 80-69. College football, Wisconsin losing at Nebraska 44-25. The Badgers move the ball at the start of the game but missed two field goals.
Yeah, those are the things on the road you just can't have happen. You got to find ways, and that was definitely not one of the things that helped us.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds, a few sprinkles around this afternoon with highs climbing to the middle 40s, light east to southeast winds. Tonight, any showers come to an end, clouds in lower 40s. Our temperatures hold steady on Monday. A few showers will continue to be around.
It's 42 at our studios.
Keep the elements out of your home with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We had howling wind coming through. The rooms were freezing. We were very apprehensive about changing them because we were worried about losing the charm of the home. We went with Pella because we knew that they had an amazing reputation. We knew that they were going to have the windows that would look like they've been there forever, but with all the functionality that a window should have.
Order from Pella today and get no interest and no payments for 12 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 11/30/2024.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up. Went to bed early, and Christmas morning, my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the weekend's news, and we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley in hour number two. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local, the show where we lean local, talk about what's going on here locally and all the great things, you know, even our intro song, we built this city on rock and roll. And I ask candidates often, you know, what is your rock and roll? Like, what do we build this city on? And we have a senator-elect, Jamie Wallenhouse, and we're going to talk about his major issues and why he ran for office. But before that, we were talking before we went to break. You like trivia. You're good at trivia. What else do you like to do? Or tell us a little bit about your trivia experiences, because I know you hang with a friend of mine.
Right, right. Well, the reason this came up is when we were going out of the previous segment, you know, you played Tina Turner's Simply the Best. And I said, oh, I played that song last night. You're like, well, why? Well, I'm part of a group of people who lead pub trivia, and we used to do it at St. Brendan's downtown. And now after the pandemic, we're out at Zambaldi in Alloway. But I did a round last night on saxophone solos, and I just played a saxophone solo and said, you know, ask people to identify the artists. And one of the songs I used was Simply the Best, since Tina's got a big, big solo in there.
You played the sax?
No. Oh, I just had it queued up on, you know, on my phone. I'm not that talented, you know. But,
well, I'm trying to learn more about you. I'm thinking, okay, I did. You're okay. You're not an are you an accomplished musician? Do you?
I've over time, I've sung in, like, you know, the church choir, and nice. I do karaoke every once in a while. I mean, I'm a basic baritone. I know my limits, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that trivia thing is just one quick story on that. I have kids that are, you know, 20s, late 20s. When we go out, it's always to a trivia thing.
Oh, cool.
That is, like, unbelievable, like in Nashville and New York. There's just these kids, that's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Did we bowl? Did we go do darts? I don't know what we did. I think we just sat around and drank. But
there's plenty of sitting around and drinking involved in trivia as well. But yeah.
Anyway, that's a cool thing to do. So, again, I want to talk a little bit more about you as a person, because I think it's okay that we know our representatives, not creepy know them, but just like them. What makes them tick, and the fact that you're from here, you're UW grad, you're a Rhodes Scholar. You love trivia, but make the connection. You ran for senator. What happened after college again?
I went away to grad school in England. Right after that, I went to work for a big business consulting firm called McKinsey in their New York office. I spent a couple of years there. Joined a software startup out in Silicon Valley for a couple of years and decided I wanted to come home. I mean, this wasn't kind of, I wasn't particularly excited by the work I was doing, and I'm an only child. My mom was a widow at this point, and it was good for me to be closer than two time zones away. So that all kind of, you know, and that was a good decision. I mean, I was able to help her out. You know, she passed away about 10 years ago, brain cancer, and use your sunscreen and pay attention to any weird moles, because that was in her case, skin cancer that had, you know, gone metastatic and jumped to her brain. So, So now I'm back in the area. I ended up running the state's economic development programs for a couple of years almost 20 years ago now. And that was, I think I talked about that a little bit when you had me on last year, Jim.
And that's where we kind of met, you know, was you were working with the state.
Right. And, you know, that was interesting. And I think, you know, often important work. You know, you were helping companies big and small expand and create jobs. And that played into the business background that I've had. I mean, I've been running my own, small consulting firm business for, you know, 15 or so years.
Okay, cool.
Work mostly with medical device companies and product managers, usually in the eye care space, helping them figure out what their customers need and how they can get it to them. So, and then often helping them do that too. But I used to travel like crazy before the pandemic, but, you know, now everybody's used to Zoom and video conferences, and that saves a lot of time in your airplanes, and I'm all in favor of that. So, sure.
Although, I don't know. There's something about looking someone in the eye.
Absolutely there is. And it's everybody's cut back in their travel budgets, but not for their sales force, because it's hard to, you know, you want to build that personal relationship. And we're still, you know, there's something very human about, you know, looking somebody in the eye and shaking their hand.
And yeah. I've been on my share of Zoom meetings, and man, because I'm a little older than you, but I never got into it. I mean, I tried, but it was, that's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole lot of stuff better than Zoom.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like parties. I like,
but there's an awful lot of things better networking than Sheraton in Fort Worth too, you know. So if that's the trade-off,
all right, cool.
I'll take being at home any day.
All right, so when you're not working, I'll talk about fishing, hunting, deer hunting. You going with the 600,000 people in Wisconsin going tomorrow? Well, weekend.
I grew up deer hunting, and I have on and off. I'm probably don't have my act together this year. You have no idea how much deferred maintenance I have. I have a list of personal errands. It's a foot long to be done after putting everything aside for eight months over the campaign. But
I get that.
Yeah. I won the greatest skeet and shoot off, 1 year in high school back in the day. So, and that was right after I had, shot my first deer in a very public way. This was opening weekend, but people were getting together to watch the Packer game in what we call the hunting shack that was on my dad's land. And, there were a group of deer that came down the fence row, and I was sitting in the back since I was young. I didn't have the right to the good seats
TV. There's a hierarchy hunting.
I was the first one at the door, and my dad yelled, "Shoot the big one for me, Jamie." So I, got out in the field and kind of eyed it up and, drew a bead and thought, nah, I need to lead it more and I need to raise the gun a little bit. But anyhow, yeah, one shot and I hit it right in the neck, basically, and dropped it. And there were 20 guys cheer behind me. And so that was...
For your deer or for the touchdown?
For the deer.
Oh, for the deer. For the deer. Okay, good,
since
good.
It was all very dramatic. All although right. my neighbor said, my neighbor thought his son had shot it and said, "Atta boy, Joe." And I was like, "No, I shot. Did Joe shoot? I shot. What was going on?" So it was a moment of confusion there. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's a good memory.
So that was my moment of glory in the deer hunting world.
All right. Do you cook? Do you read?
I don't cook particularly well, but I do. Yeah. I mean, I started cooking a lot more in the pandemic than I had before for obvious reasons. Right?
I think we all did.
Right.
I have really got into cooking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. I like entertaining. And, the pandemic, we couldn't go out to eat. And then after we could go out to eat, the service wasn't very good, because
everybody's short staffed.
They were. I know. And I'm not complaining. I love the restaurants and the restaurateurs in Greater Green Bay, but, lost my cool a couple times, and my wife's like, "Okay, we can't go out anymore." Well, I still want to entertain, so then we just do it at home now, which is fun. And I think a lot of people learned how to cook during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of positives that came out of that. As tough as it was, there's some good things that came out of it, and I think that was one of them.
Sure. So. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I like to read. I mean, mostly history, some fiction or science fiction too. Follow the Packers like everybody else does around here. That's nothing unusual.
No.
But, I came off the, I put myself on the waiting list when I was in college. And a couple years ago, I got a letter from the Packers saying you can die in the green list, or if you go in the gold list, we'll have your tickets in about 2 years. And I think it took three, but yeah, I'm in my second year as a season ticket holder there with the gold package.
Well, you guys got some pretty good games.
This year we did. We got all the division
ones. Green people that were really happy.
I gave away one set of tickets to my campaign staff, but I'll be there for the Bears game in January, whenever that is.
Fun. Yeah. Your commercials, your TV commercials, and even some of your literature was, he's a tall guy. Can I ask, did you play basketball?
I grew about 6 inches in high school and about 6 inches after I graduated from high school. So I never got good when I was a kid because it wasn't a natural thing. I ran cross country and track in high school, though, and that I enjoyed. And, heck, I still run now. So I've enjoyed that over the years.
Neighborhood, or are you at a club gym?
No, just around the neighborhood. I usually go over the East River and one side or the other, and there's some trails along there through the parks or the actual East River Trail itself, and that's nice. I mean, I've seen, you see wildlife. I see cranes there. Occasional deer. I saw a fox once. The turkeys, all sorts of little muskrats. I think they are. So it's a little bit of a wildlife refuge there in the middle of the town.
It is. I can tell you a story about that. All right. So, are you involved in any social organizations? Optimist Kiwanis. Is there something that attracts you to? You're a social guy, and it just I'm just curious.
I mentioned the pub trivia, which is something that's I do. Cool. I'm not members of any service organizations, but I should get to know those people, and I'll make a point of reaching out to them over time here. I sit on the commission for the Green Bay Water Utility, so I have almost nothing to do with the fact that water comes out of your tap when you open it in the morning, but I oversee, you know, the budgets for the people who do have everything to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on the national, not the national, the State 4-H Foundation board for a few years. That was charity fundraising because, you know, like I said before, the 4-H program was very good to me as
a kid. And that's still strong, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it skews rural, and there are plenty of organizations like, you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, here in town that play a similar role in kids' lives.
Yeah.
You know, they all do good work in a different way.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting background. You're an interesting guy. So you took all that, and what was the impetus that made you throw your hat in the ring for senator? And before you answer that, were you mad about something? Because that's what some people like. They don't like what's going on. Yeah. Other people are like, look, I feel an obligation to duty type thing. And other people are so encouraged and not pushed, but it's like, dude, you got to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious as to where you fit in on this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm a particularly angry man, but I mean, I wasn't super happy with the direction of things in Madison for a while here. I mean, with the old maps, you had a whole bunch of Republicans in bomb-proof districts and a smaller number of Democrats in bomb-proof districts. And all they were worried about was, you know, their own primaries, and everybody was playing, you know, outside the 20-yard lines instead of trying to come together in the middle and, you know, worried about the average citizen and the voter in the middle, which is how people, you know, how politicians in a democracy should act. So I don't think that served the state particularly well. And when they drew the new district here, I mean, I took a look at it and said, okay, well, it's winnable. You know, because I don't want to, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work and you don't want to just run into a wall if you know that it's not going to work for you. So
being sarcastic, you don't run into a wall you ain't going to run into me.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Bad pun.
But, I would agree that I think the Republicans may have looked at it too. Like, this is winnable. I think isn't it pretty much a 50-50?
It's a little more Democratic. Maybe a couple points.
Okay.
A point and a half, 2 points, something like that, I think, would how most people would score it.
One could argue it's winnable on both sides.
Right. And it is. Okay. It is. It's a moderate district.
Yeah.
And it deserves a moderate to represent it.
All right.
Sure.
So you saw that, and was that it?
Yeah, that was a big part of it. I mean, I started talking to people around town about, was anybody else thinking of running, and, you know, would I have their support if I did? And those conversations all went well. So, you know, went to talk to some of the people in Madison about it too, and that all worked. So, yeah, I announced in front of the I Love Green Bay statue in the city deck that actually you probably had something to do with back in the day. So if not the statue, the city deck, I know you did.
Yeah. And then you hit the campaign trail. You're a campaigner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's... You want somebody who's a little bit competitive and wants to work at it, too. I mean, I think that's a guarantee that you have somebody in office who's going to want to work a little bit for you as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. You saw it. There's an opportunity here. The maps. I got a shot at this thing. Nobody else. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody else. The support was there.
Yeah.
And then you threw your hat in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
What were the issues that you were running on? Was that parallel to what the constituents wanted? Did you like, ooh, maybe I'm not on the right track here?
No, I think, you know, look, I mean, government isn't the solution to everything. And, you know, I mean, bureaucracies have a bad reputation for a reason, but it can play a role in making people's lives better. And I want to try to push things and get government inside of the regular people as much as you can.
All right. When we come back, I do want to talk to you about some burning issues on the state. Mm-hmm. And reproductive rights is one of them.
Oh, sure.
Legalized marijuana, be it for medical or recreation, that's another one. And I'm glad you addressed the coal piles because that was on my list.
So okay.
I'm glad you're introducing some legislation in the next couple weeks. I'm going to hold you to that, by the
way.
Okay,
great. Okay.
Hey, we're going to be right back. It's Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, Senator-elect Jamie Wahl.
Baby! You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me.
Is this greater one?
Yeah, you need to give your music chooser a raise here, Jim, I think so.
I mean, we're getting to know Jamie Wall, Senator-elect on Lean Local here. And, he dug up Julie Andrews. So that and The Who, I'm not sure they know each other, but those are two songs to kind of lean into what we're doing here with you. Interesting guy. So as we wrap this up, I want to talk to you about some issues that you're going to be working on, whether you want to or not. But before I do that, so you're out campaigning 19,000 doors, 500 miles. If you run into someone or a group of people that I'm going to go do this and they don't like it, do you ever say, wait a minute, am I wrong and they're right? Or do you try to convince them? You know what I'm saying? If the constituency is not in line with what you thought, I don't want to give you an example, but let's say a roller coaster. No, let's say you want to...
Hypothetically.
You think something's needed and people are like, and some pretty important, powerful people are like, that own businesses are like, Jim, this is where I get off with you. Mm-hmm. That's not a great example. I want to hear from you as a senator that if your constituency feels one way and you feel something else, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think it depends is probably the honest answer, that you should, as an elected official, take your lead from your constituents. If everybody's telling me, oh my gosh, I'm struggling to make ends meet because of these things, maybe that's an indication that I should pay a little bit of attention to the kind of things they're worried about, okay? There may be other instances where, heck, you may have known more about the Zip and Pippin and what it could bring than the average person in the street. And in that case, you owe them your judgment, and not just your obedience. So,
Ed, I was talking to a guy last night, little argument with him about I think something should be done, and he goes, "Well, nothing's going to happen. It's a dead end by a parking lot, a piece of property that I think should be developed." Okay, I'm like, what if I had that attitude with the waterfront, right? Mm-hmm. That was the backs of bars, and I think vision's important. I mean, I think a good leader, to me, has vision and then builds the consensus to support that
vision.
Right,
looks on the road and tries to figure out where are the resources that you could bring to make something good happen.
And that's not always easy to convince people. So that's going to happen. I think there's going to be things that people are going to say, Senator, we need this. And you're going to be like, okay, and you're willing to just listen to it, talk to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, part of the job, and I touched on this a little bit. I mean, it's not like you didn't elect me to be king, and I'm one of 33 people in one house of the legislature, but, I've got a little bit of influence in what the governor puts into his budgets, we worked with the people at the city about what they need to, finally get those coal piles moved. And we're going to, put in a request for some funds there. I sat down with Mayor Boyd and DePere and his team, just yesterday morning, and heard about some of the things they had planned for the city down there. Right. And, if you've ever been on Main Street in the West Side driving toward town and you go down underneath the railroad bridge and the lanes pinch down from four into three and the traffic backs up there. You know this, but a lot of the main thoroughfares through town are actually state roads. And they're, you know, they're the jurisdiction and responsibility of the state. And that Main Street there is Highway 32, and the state is looking to rebuild it in a few years. But if that happens, we want to make sure that they're able to not have that same pinch point in place for the next 50 years until they get around to rebuilding the whole street again. So that's important to, you know, the civic leaders there, but it's also important to everybody who's been backed up, you know, backed up waiting for that pinch point to clear up in their commute every afternoon.
That's great. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are thinking about that. Hey, a couple things that are in the news. I want to hear your opinion on the reformatory.
Yeah.
100 years old, built for 500. What do we have, 1,100 people there? I've been through there many times. I'm sure you have too. It's old, and it's. I hear it's unsafe. I don't know that. Is it the best use? Is it practical? Is it working? You can't argue. It is working, right? We're keeping people in there. We haven't escaped in there in forever.
Right. So that's a pretty low bar, though. But yeah, that's right. The streets of Alloway are not full of escape convicts. So that's a good thing.
Okay. But what do you think?
Like I said earlier, my dad worked there for 34 years. I know a little bit about his experience. I'll be in the place for the first time since I was a kid. It was in the right side of the bar as they dedicated a new cafeteria and brought the families of the employees in for an open house there. So I still vividly remember being airlocked through those outer gates. The one opens and closes behind you before the other one.
And that's loud, right? It's like, oh my God.
It made a big impression on me at age 10.
Yep, I hear you.
Yeah. But to answer your question, there's a lot of things going on with the state prison system, and it's hard to think about how to solve them without taking half a step back and looking at the whole criminal justice system at the same time. So things have stabilized a little bit at the prison. They brought on they were running so short-staffed that they were just on lockdown forever. The inmates never got to come out of their cells because there weren't enough guards, all right? The last budget, they bumped the pay a bit, and they've been able to hire some new guards and some new correctional officers there. So that's helped stabilize the institution, but it's still outdated. Problems there, and Waupun is even worse from everything I hear. So we're clearly coming to the end of those facilities. So what I'd like to do is to look at the criminal justice system, say, are there things that we can do to help transition people, giving them the kind of vocational skills, like my dad was training these inmates to take auto body repairs. Is there ways that we can figure out a way to reduce the population slightly without endangering public safety, which is the bottom line? Because no business would build a new facility without knowing what the demand for it is. And the state needs to think like a business on this one. We still need a place to house those inmates. And right now, that's what we've got. They're closing Lincoln Hills as a youth facility. That's going to open up some more adult beds for the system. But there's a lot of moving pieces here. And I've been in conversation with the governor's folks about this, and this is going to be a big topic for the legislature in the spring here. So stay tuned. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Okay. Marijuana, recreational, medical, that's going to show up on your desk too.
Yeah. And I think it's very clear where the public is. I mean, they're in favor of both of those things. And all of our neighboring states, maybe with the exception of Iowa, have said yes to both of those questions. And I don't see blood running in the streets of the UP as a result. I'd like to take some of that tax money and devote it to alcohol and drug treatment and rehabilitation, because that's at the root of a lot of our criminal justice problems.
Quickly,
too.
We're sitting on a surplus, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Any major project that you're looking at?
I'd like to take some of that money and give it back to, you know, to the people who need it the most in the form of middle class tax cut. That's one thing I campaigned on. Aside from that, some of my other priorities, you know, housing, etc., education, we've probably been underfunding. That's where that should go.
I'll take the tax cut. All right, this is great. Jamie Wall, Senator-elect, going to be sworn in on January 6th. Congratulations. That's a hard-fought race.
You won.
And you got 4 years of representing this district. We're proud to have you here.
Excellent.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.